Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tiny Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mee.
And you are listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic is, what is the difference between prison and jail? Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, everybody. So this is another request from our number one stan, Diane.
She's our Diane. Number one stan.
So just a quick content warning. We will be discussing suicide briefly in this episode, so use discretion when
please.
Listening.
Yes.
So anyway, do you remember Aaron Hernandez?
I do. I actually use his case as an example when we talk about like biological factors and like sociological factors that sort of brain disorders and pretty much TBI, traumatic brain injury, and how that can affect behavior.
Right, because he was the football player who killed somebody, went to prison.
Yes.
And then hung himself, killed himself in prison.
Right.
And autopsies found that he had severe CTE, traumatic, chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yes.
And particularly for somebody so young, his age, the doctors were kind of like really surprised how damaged his brain, how damaged his brain was.
Right.
But anyway, on to the point of jails versus prison.
Our topic for today.
Yeah. So when I cover jails in class, I always kind of, you know, do this discussion, like, what's the difference? Everybody tell us, what's the difference between jail versus prison?
Yes.
And literally the morning that I was going to go give this lecture was the morning that the news broke that Aaron Hernandez had killed himself in prison.
Okay.
And I saw the article on Facebook and I pulled it up and the headline of the article said, Aaron Hernandez kills himself in jail. jail cell, prison officials say.
Oh.
So even like reporters in the headline
title
of the article were mixed up and couldn't get the terms jail and prison right. Couldn't figure out where it, you know, like
shocking
which term to use. And I hear this, you know, popularly like hear people kind of mix them up sometimes. Most frequently, kind of the using the jail for prison. So people will say, like, I'm going to jail for the rest of my life, or I'll spend the rest of my life in jail.
Yes.
So have you ever heard or know of any examples of, like, people mixing up prison and jail?
Yes, Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley?
Elvis Presley. Yes. He probably didn't write the song. I didn't check. I don't care enough to do that. But in the first two lines of Jailhouse Rock, so in Jailhouse Rock, the first two lines is the warden threw a party at the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. So even in the first two lines of the song, it's not right.
Yeah. The prison. Oh, I didn't realize that. Prison band.
Prison band was there.
Warden. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So, yeah, people mix up jail and prison frequently, and we're going to help you kind of figure that out today a little bit. So three
for people
major,
who have been to jail or prison, they know the difference.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Well, true. Yeah.
But three major distinctions between jail and prison. Number one, and I'll list these briefly and then go back and talk about them a little bit more.
Okay.
Number one, who is locked up there and what for?
Yes.
Number two, kind of the nature or purpose of the incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, who operates it.
Correct.
So number one, who's locked up there or what they're locked up for.
Not
or
me.
how long they're locked up for. Yeah, I mean, either. This is an easy but not precise. It's kind of a sloppy distinction. We might think of like the misdemeanor versus felony distinction that if you're serving time for a misdemeanor, you're in jail. If you're serving time for a felony, you're in prison. Misdemeanor is usually less than a year. So usually less than a year jail, usually more than a year of time you're serving in prison. Less serious crimes, jail, more serious crimes, prison. Like I said, that's kind of a sloppy distinction. There are certainly misdemeanors in prison and felons in jail.
Yes.
And short sentences in jail, and people spend long sentences in. See, I've already done it. I've already mixed them up. People spend long sentences in jail and short sentences in prison. But most often, long sentences, serious crimes, felons in prison, short sentences, less serious crimes, misdemeanors in jail.
Yes, even short prison sentences because they will like use space in a jail to hold state prisoners.
Number two is the nature or purpose of incarceration. We talked about kind of serving sentences in the first one, but prison is only for people who have been convicted and are serving sentences and are being punished for a crime. So you can't be in prison unless you've been found guilty of a crime, and prison is for punishment of a crime.
Yes.
Jail certainly holds people who are being punished for minor crimes or serving shorter sentences, but also those people who have not been convicted and are awaiting trial. And that is actually the majority of the people who are in jail. So in 2023, 83% of people in jail were not convicted of a crime yet. So in prison, you have to be convicted of a crime. You can be in jail if you are not guilty yet, if you've not been found guilty.
Yes.
And then finally, who operates it? So prisons are operated at the state level by the state, or sometimes I use this word in class. I don't know if it's a real word, if I just made it up, but prisons are jurisdictionalized. I don't think that's a real word, but I use it all the time.
It's a cool word.
Yeah. So prisons are operated by the state at the state level, state DOC. So if you're sentenced to prison, you could end up, in theory, in any prison in the state. And I said that in class one time, and I had like this annoying kind of know-it-all student who's like, that's not true. It depends on your security level, which is true.
Yes.
Certainly your security custody classification, you could end up in, you know, that security custody level anywhere in the state. But more theoretically, technically, you could be incarcerated anywhere in the state of Virginia.
Yes.
In a prison.
Yes.
And the warden's in charge of a prison. So back to the Elvis.
Jailhouse
warden's
rock.
Not in charge of the jail. Warden's in charge of a prison. Jails are operated at the local level, usually the county level. Some bigger cities operate their own independent jail. And jails are operated by the sheriff. So jails at the local level operated by the sheriff.
Yes.
So those are the three major distinctions between jails and prison. But let's back up and talk about some of the points in more detail, or more generally talk comparing prisons and jail. And let's start with boring history.
Okay. Let's get into the time machine.
Okay.
Ding, ding.
Good. I actually pulled up some like YouTube like sound effects of time machines, and it was usually kind of like the you know, like,
oh, that one's better. Like, I like that up. One. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that one.
So let's do the time warp again. So surprisingly, and a lot of people don't realize this, but the use of prison as punishment for crime is actually an American invention and a relatively recent invention, temporally speaking. You mentioned before that prisons were created by the Quakers on one of our episodes. Want to remind our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I mentioned the Quaker system. So the Quakers were interested in criminal justice reform in the colonies. And so beginning in the 18th century, they emphasized solitude and silence as a part of penitence. And they also introduced the idea of prison labor. So even though they thought you needed to be quiet and you needed to repent, you should be doing something. You should be making some contribution. Eastern Penn was established in 1829 as the first facility entirely devoted to this theory of solitude and penitence. And it was designed by the Quakers and operated largely under their leadership. The idea of reform, however, the Quakers have been on, you know, like doing this forever. As it existed then, they're still involved in reform to this day, advocating for education in prison, better conditions, and also they oppose prison expansion. So they have always thought and advocated for criminal justice reform.
Yeah, so the Quakers created the prisons and delicious cinnamon and brown sugar oatmeal. And certainly before the Quakers in the colonies, kind of prisons existed, but they were largely like debtor's prisons. So you went to prison if you owed money and you went to prison to work it off, or for political reasons. So like if you ticked off the king, then you'd be kind of like thrown in prison or locked up in the dungeon. But jails, on the other hand, have kind of existed for like millennia, at least back to Egypt or Mesopotamia. And they were places where people were locked up until they were convicted and could be punished. So really hold you in jail until you could be punished. And before the Quakers, that punishment was things like execution, public corporal punishment, being sold into slavery, banished. So very public corporal bodily punishment. So you were held into jail until you could be executed or whipped or whatever. But as you said, the Quakers wanted punishment for crime to be more humane.
How many people are in jails and prisons? Let's throw out some numbers.
Yeah, good question. And we have good data on this because jails and prisons provide one of the most reliable sources of data for criminologists because jails and prisons want to make sure that they're keeping their captives captive. And so they count them and they number them and they list them several times a day.
Yes.
And the Bureau of Justice Statistics releases annual reports on, you know, counts and rates in jails and prison, but also the Prison Policy Initiative and mass incarceration reports are super useful, user friendly, have great charts, great visuals. So we've linked to that in the show notes. So one thing to note, kind of another difference between prisons and jails, is that prisons have higher incarceration rates, but jails have much higher admission or turnover rates. And I'll come back and clarify that a bit more in a moment. But in 2023, about 1.2 million people were in prison compared to about 514,000 in jail. And those are kind of like single day counts. So on any given day, essentially, there are about two times more people in prison than in jail, and that includes both state and federal prison.
Yes.
In federal prison, you know, kind of sounds bad, it sounds scary, it sounds worse, like you're going to go to federal prison. But in reality, you know, there are, first of all, many fewer people in federal prison than state prison.
And famous people like Martha Stewart, who was in federal prison.
Yeah, so there are about 10 times more people in state prisons than in federal prisons because most crime is defined by state criminal codes, especially your serious violent crime. So, you know, most violent crime is punished at the state level. To be a federal crime, it has to, like, cross state borders or so usually those are kind of like more sophisticated organized crime or drug trafficking rings, or it happens on federal land or property or some crime that automatically triggers federal jurisdiction, like organized crime, RICO, bank robbery, etc. So federal prisons are usually nicer, more white collar criminals, more sophisticated, higher socioeconomic status, non-violent. So anyway, like I said before, there are you know, about two times more people on any given day in prison than in jail, but admission turnover rates in jail are much higher. So in 2022, there were 10 million admissions to jail. And one of the charts, the analogies that I saw said if you were to fuel, you know, prison buses bumper to bumper with that number of prisoners in those buses would reach all the way from New York City to San Francisco, the number of people admitted to jail in a single year. But turnover...
That's a good visual.
Yeah, turnover in jail is really high. So a lot of people are admitted and released to jail in the same day.
Yep.
One other quick thing to mention about prison and jail populations was the impact of COVID. And first of all, prisons and jails were some of the hardest hit places. People are cramped together, bad conditions. You can't social distance or isolate. But one of the biggest myths about COVID in prison was that a flood of dangerous people were released from prisons and jails. It is true, certainly, that prison and jail populations declined by 15% to 25% for jail during COVID, but those declines were actually due to court slowdowns. Basically, the criminal justice system stopped, police stopped arresting people, courts stopped sending people to prisons. Not that
they didn't just open the door and let everyone out.
And in fact, in 2020, overall, there were fewer releases from prison compared to 2019.
Yes.
So this idea that like a ton, you know, COVID caused a ton of dangerous people to be released from prison, actually fewer people were released in 2020 compared to 2019. But that narrative is kind of like so ingrained in our brains that I cover this in every class. And still like more than half of the class missed that true and false question.
So
on like the final exam.
So some inmates were released, but they're not dangerous inmates. So for example, in federal prisons, some inmates were released during COVID, and these were people who would have been the most vulnerable. And there were designations. So if you were convicted of a sex crime, for example, you were not going to meet the criteria to be released. But this release of inmates did prompt discussions about the necessity of using incarceration for reducing recidivism or reoffense, because this was the CARES Act that was passed that allowed the Justice Department to release people and put them on home confinement instead. And so they released more than 11,000 people. The Bureau of Prisons reported that only 17 of mm-hmm. more than 11,000 people committed new crimes, mm-hmm. and that's a 0.15% recidivism rate. Yeah. And only one of those was for a violent offense, and it was aggravated assault. Mm-hmm. So
for sure.
The myth of dangerous people being released, mm-hmm. not true. Yes, some people were released, but there were reasons for that.
Yeah, and that varied by jurisdiction. Some Absolutely. Places did some places did release.
Yes.
Some others didn't, but overall it was not like a flood of
Yeah.
releases.
Right. Okay. So what else should we talk about here?
Let's talk quickly about pretrial detention and bail or bond. And this topic probably deserves its own episode, but quickly, I do want to mention this since we're talking about jails. As we've said before, jails have historically served the function of holding or detaining people until their trial or until they could be punished. And pretrial detention is the term for that. So if you've not been convicted, you're being held in jail, you're on pretrial detention. But sometimes we let people out of jail before their trial, as long as they promise to show back up. And and sometimes a person's word is enough. Like, on my scout's honor, I promise that I will show back up to court.
Yes.
And in that case, a judge will let you out on, release you on your own recognizance. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do anything. You just promise to show back up and your word is good enough. But sometimes we also make people guarantee that they will show up for trial by requiring them to give money or property or surety to the court. And that is called bond. So you bond out before jail. And bail specifically refers to the cash amount, the monetary amount.
Yes.
But you can also put up things like property titles, car deeds, or actually property deeds, car titles.
Yes.
Something like that. So anyway, you put that up, you show up to court, you get your money back.
Right.
If you don't show up to court, the court keeps your money or your property or whatever. You put up, issues a bench warrant, and then you become a fugitive. You go on the run or you go on the lam. Do you know where that term comes from?
On the lam? I do not.
Well, for the longest time when I would hear that, I would think it was go lamb. On the lam.
Me too.
B with the B. So Mary had a little lamb who's on the run from the popo. But no, there's no B. On the lam, L-A-M. And the origins of this term is actually kind of disputed.
You
by
love
linguists.
The word stuff. Mm-hmm.
I do. Mm-hmm. So one camp says that lamb is related to a Scandinavian word referring to a beating. So if you go on the lam, you're trying to escape a beating. And it's kind of similar to the way we use the phrase beat it, to get out of here.
Yeah.
The other camp says that lamb is related to this slang underground word in London several centuries ago, lammas, L-A-M-M-A-S, meaning to leave or depart.
Okay.
And scholars have actually traced that to the word that they use out west.
Yeah.
Vamoose. You varmint. But anyway, that's on the lamb.
Yes.
Back to bail. Okay. So remember I mentioned earlier that about 80% of people in jail are not convicted or are awaiting trial, and the primary reason those people are there is because they can't afford bail. They've been granted bail, but they can't afford it.
Yes.
In the plea bargain episode, remember we talked about how money and socioeconomic status impacts people in terms of getting a private attorney versus public defenders, and that was one of the kind of unjust ways that the system impacts people based on their socioeconomic status or disadvantages the poor. Well, bail is the other point, and maybe even more specific, because you have a monetary amount that you can pay to buy your freedom before a trial. In people who are locked up in jail, it's not like they're, worse criminals or more dangerous. They're just too poor to afford bail. And being bailed out of jail before trial helps you prepare for your trial and avoids the stigma of detention. You don't show up to court in jumpsuits and cuffs and being escorted by police officers. So there's research that shows that pretrial detention, all things being equal, leads to higher odds of being convicted, longer sentences.
Yes.
So bail system is really one of the direct ways that we punish or disadvantage poor people in favor of the wealthy in the criminal justice system.
Right.
Two things quickly before we wrap up. I mentioned incarceration rates earlier, and we talk about the era of mass incarceration, and over the last decade we have seen slight but steady declines in prison populations, although they're still astronomically high compared to the rest of the world. But one of the common solutions to prison overcrowding has been that, you know, kind of to contract, and I think you mentioned this earlier,
yes,
contract with local jails to house state prisoners. So the state will pay local jails to house prisoners when prisons at the state level are overcrowded. And that's a bad idea for a lot of reasons.
Jails are not really equipped to deal with prisoners. There isn't security custody classification. So you have serious violent inmates or who have been in, you know, mm-hmm. convicted of a violent crime, mixing with non-serious, first-time, non-convicted inmates. Mm-hmm. So it's like a safety concern. People mm-hmm. who have mental illness or substance abuse issues. Jail conditions are typically bad.
Yeah, it sounds counterintuitive, yes, but jail time is really like the hardest time.
Yes.
That you can pull. I tell yeah. my students, like, hypothetically, if you were ever given a choice between jail and prison,
yes,
you might be tempted to pick jail because it sounds like for lower offenses, but don't do it.
Yes.
Pick prison over jail.
Yes. And as someone who has eaten prison food, mm-hmm. I would take prison food over jail food any mm-hmm. day.
Yeah.
If they're being mm-hmm. fed at all.
Yeah. And why is that the case? Why are jails worse typically?
Yeah. So jails are typically old, overcrowded. Mm-hmm. There's not as many safety features, regulations in place. You have fewer programs. They're limited compared to prisons. People are in jail for very short or shorter stays. They don't have time to complete programs or mm-hmm. work. So you're just sitting around with nothing to do, kind of waiting for the court case.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So to end on a positive note somewhat positive note, one recent innovation in jail has been the creation of regional jails. So regional
yes.
jails are when, like, I think you even mentioned this earlier, regional
yeah.
jails. Several counties or cities kind of come together and pool their resources and they build or operate a centrally located jail. And in theory, there are some advantages or strengths to this model. One, you've
yes.
got more money or resources. So, you know, different localities are pooling their money together and you can have like newer construction, better
right.
facilities. So a lot of regional jails are newly built,
yes.
built on, you know, more kind of recent designs. They're going to have more opportunities, more programs, more professionalization, because
yeah.
usually regional jails supervised under like a director or regional corrections board or a jail board instead of like the sheriff being
yes.
in charge of
yes.
the jail. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why like having police in charge of a jail is not really the best, you know, kind
yes.
of idea for like professionalization and standards in jails, because all
yeah.
jails usually become kind of like secondary to the policing
yes.
function. And that kind of sends a message about how much we should care about
yeah.
jails and stuff. So
yeah.
anyway, better professionalization.
Yes.
But unfortunately, regional jails aren't like a fix-all
right.
Problem. Like our regional jail, Middle Rivers, faced a number of lawsuits
yes.
for bad conditions, abuses of inmates, inmate rights. I remember one particular.
Suicides.
One particular story about like the jail limiting the number of sanitary napkins that the women
yes.
can have, which just seems
yeah.
like crazy.
Yeah, and we should also mention that they have been trying to expand. And so there's a whole, like, community activist group against
mm-hmm.
the Middle River expansion. And primarily the reason is because they have never provided any proof that there's a need for the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a group dedicated to kind of, like, opposing
yeah.
jail and prison expansion. And they're saying, like, show us the numbers. Like,
mm-hmm.
why do we need to expand and add all these beds? And they have mm-hmm. not been able to do that. So it's been put off. But yeah, they have a whole host
mm-hmm.
of issues going on there.
Yeah. So regional jails certainly aren't perfect, but maybe a step in the right direction, even though this
Depending.
Technically isn't
yeah.
a
yeah.
Episode on jail conditions or
yes.
problems.
Yes.
Well, to close our show, then, it's our Minute to Spin It, where we each give our 30-second takeaway from
yes.
the episode today. So, Tommy, in just a minute, what's your spin?
Despite what Elvis said in Jailhouse Rock, I have never known a warden to throw a party in the county jail.
Yeah, no county jail parties, for sure.
Ben, what's your spin?
Well, my spin is that I would say that the greatest gift that the English language has ever given country music was the fact that the words jail and bail
yeah.
rhyme. And also sell, too. So
yeah.
jail, bail, sell, they all rhyme. And as I was kind of doing a little overview of Jail and Bell rhyming songs. I actually found that it was really specific to murder ballads in like bluegrass and country music, which is kind of cool. And maybe we could do like a whole episode on murder ballads. That might be a cool episode.
That'll be cool.
But Cocaine Blues, that Johnny Cash performed live at Folsom Prison, that's a murder ballad. Yes. And it has jail and bail rhyming there. But my favorite murder ballad and the most graphic murder ballad I've ever heard, because it talks about like stabbing the woman and beating her with a stick and dragging her around by the hair and then throwing her in the river.
Yes.
And that's actually, that's called Knoxville Girl. But the kind of story is traced all the way back to like England in the 1600s.
Yeah.
But anyway, it goes, they carried me down to Knoxville and locked me in a cell. My friends all tried to get me out, but none could go my bail. I'm here to waste my life away down in this dirty old jail, because I murdered that Knoxville girl, the girl I love so well. So that's got jail, cell, bail, all rhyming in that. So don't murder people. Don't get locked up in jail, sitting in a cell with no one to go your bail.
This podcast is sponsored by the Gandhi Center at JMU, which relies on support from generous donors like yourselves. If you'd like to throw a few bucks at the Gandhi Center to support our educational programming, please click on the link in the show notes.